Some people are in a hurry to get out of here. All right, let's all stand, please. I'm going to speak on what I consider one of the central texts of the Scripture for the practical side of the Christian life. We have been dealing for the last couple of weeks with giving that pleases God, and that's in chapter 6, 2 through 4. And then 5 through 8 was, of course, praying that pleases God. That was last week, where we talked about that Christians pray in secret. We pray to the Father, and we pray to the Father who both cares and knows and loves and wants to do something about what we're going through. Well, this morning I'm going to preach on the easiest passage in the Bible for me to preach on. In one sense, I cannot think of an easier passage to preach on. As long as I don't expect anything of people. Because I'm going to ask you to totally reorient your entire life. And if you've been saved for a few years, things don't change easily. Because in this passage, Jesus teaches us, by the way, we call this the Lord's Prayer. I'm not going to change the title. I'm going to add to the title. This is the Lord's Prayer for his disciples. Are you his disciple? So the very introduction is the most important. If you're wrong in the introduction, really the rest of the day will be a waste of our time. So we're going to look at the introduction, verse 9. I will say this. This is so easy to preach. What I do next week is the hard part. Do I then break this down and go through every single phrase to try to expand on this because I think it's worthy of that? Or do I just speak on it once and move on and not get frustrated? Well, that I haven't figured out yet. Verse 9. The first phrase in the King James Bible is after this manner. That particular Greek, it's just one Greek word. It means in this way or thusly. It's an adverb. Adverbs answer what kind of questions? How questions. So he's not telling us what to pray. He's telling us, yes, I learned it from my wife. She teaches me English too, Kayla. You didn't know she teaches me English. So friend, the first thing you need to learn before we go anyplace, this is not a prayer that you do this with. Whether you be a Catholic or a Baptist. This is not something to quote. This is telling us not what to do. He's telling us how to pray. The next word is even more important. After this manner, which tells you what? This is here for a reason. And the reason is the problems that people have, like you and me, when it comes to praying. We tend to do what? Mumble words. Have you ever, do me a favor, let's be honest, raise your hand. Have you ever mumbled off a prayer and realized you weren't praying? Once a day? Twice a day? Friends, this prayer is Jesus' pattern of prayer for his disciples. I think you should memorize it, of course. I think you could memorize it today. It's not hard. Many of you know it. But it's not really to be quoted except to do this. As a pattern, or I'm going to use a different word, a map to help you pray. But our problem is we're already set in our ways. We're going to do what we're going to do. Well, I'm going to try to undo that today. I freely confess. I'm going to be nice. But the text is just absolutely central to the Christian life. Let's read the whole thing. After this manner, or thusly, in this way, therefore, because of the previous problems in prayer, praying, you know, to be seen of people, using mumbling words, that sort of thing, Jesus says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. This is the first phrase, our Father, which art in heaven. This is how we address God. Or something very close to that. Friends, I'm guessing if you said, our Heavenly Father, that would be okay. But you're to address God as Father. Oh, my goodness, friends. I think I'll spend 1 week just on that. That's so rich, which art in heaven. And then we get to the prayer request. I love the King James. It's much better than modern English. Sorry, in this text, nothing modern matches it. But you do have to know the Old English. Hallowed be thy name. Thy, of course, means you or your singular, right? So when I say thy, it means you, your name, singular. And hallowed, you say, I don't have a clue what that means. Yeah, we don't use hallowed much anymore. It means to set apart, sanctify, maybe glorify. Then he goes on to say the second prayer request is, thy, your kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, you're going to find in the ESV and some modern translations, the next phrase is not in it. So can you hold on your thought for a minute while I read this, and then we're going to look at two other places? You don't mind. The King James ends with this, because the vast majority of Greek text end with this. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Turn your Bibles back to chapter 4, please. Back to chapter 4, verse 28. Is it 428? No, 423. 423. Friend, if you read the Gospel of Luke, you're going to find the Lord's Prayer for his disciples. It is not identical to the Gospel of Matthew. Why not? Boy, this is going to help you when you read the New Testament, and this is going to help your Christianity if you have ears to hear. Would you believe that Jesus taught his disciples in more than one place? And would you think that he probably taught the same thing every place he went? That doesn't mean he copied it. It doesn't mean he stood up to the pulpit and turned on the recorder and just recorded his voice. No, but he taught the same ideas. So in Luke chapter 11, when you read it there, you know what you're going to find? Very similar, but it's a little different. Friends, we have this in a book outside the New Testament from the year 125 called the Didache. In Greek, it's Didache. That book was written in 125 and quotes exactly what the King James has. Because I believe the Lord's Prayer was used in many places and many circumstances. How do I know? Glad you asked. Mark chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all of Galilee. Galilee was a Roman province, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout, we're now in Syria. And they brought him all the sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis, the 10 Greek cities that were north of the Sea of Galilee, scattered out. Deca is 10. And from Jerusalem, which is in Judea, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan, meaning on the other side of the Jordan River. So I want to ask you a question. How many times did Jesus teach the Lord's Prayer? Every place he went. Why? Look at me. He actually expected Christians to use the Lord's Prayer as their roadmap for praying, as opposed to thinking about yourself and your toenail that hurts so much and that nobody noticed your new hairdo. He actually told everybody how to pray every place he went. John 9, 35, in case you didn't get it the first time. And Jesus went all about the cities and villages. And we actually had a discussion on this sometime and there's all these, you know, what's a village, what's a city? I know in England they have all kinds of layering of this. America is very confused. I don't think we're as formal, and it's according to how the counties are formed, and it's bizarre. But there were differences between a city, which was bigger, and a small village. So Jesus went to every city, every little village, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So friend, this is what I know. The Lord's Prayer was preached and taught to every single group of disciples. Look at me. Not to be quoted as a mantra or magic, but as a pattern or a map for prayer. Now, everybody do me a favor. We're going to pray, but before I do that, I want you to take a deep breath, especially if you're younger. Take a breath. You'll need it. Jesus was giving us, come on, all of you passing out, you're thinking, where's my phone at? I'm going to Google it. Jesus didn't let us Google it. He gave us a map to know how to pray. I know some of you didn't know these still existed. They do. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your people. I love to be around these folks. I love to see their smiles. I love their humor. I feel their pain, as we'll talk about later in the sermon. I prayed for many people this morning and this week that I know are having difficult circumstances. And Father, it's always good when I hear good news and you hear that some good things have happened, but how in the world do we pray? Father, help us to hear this morning as I lay out the simplicity of the Lord's Prayer as an overview. Help me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know who this story is about. I just remember the story happening in the last 3 or 4 years. We had a missionary here, and at the end of the morning service, the missionary was going with someone, and I looked at them and said, by the way, tonight, after the service, a bunch of us will go over to Culver's and eat. And he said, oh, great. And the next words out of his mouth, I can still remember generally, and I'm being really, really picky. So you old folks, you're going to miss it. Sorry. He asked this question, can you give me directions? But he did not want directions. He actually wanted the address. And I said, well, you're staying at the Country Inn and Suites in Zion. We're going to Culver's. I said, if you walk out the front door, it's like right there. He says, my son's this way. I love John. John is nicer than Amy to me. Amen, Amy? Amen. Amy's mean to me most of the time. My son could get lost. Now, he could get his GPS going. He calls me going to see my mother a few years back. He's on highway. You have to go down 55 to Springfield, right south of Springfield, right as you get to the edge. You take a right or you go west on 72, and you go 72 to, there's a couple different ways you can get there, normally 67. He calls me and says, Dad, I'm lost. I said, okay, what road are you on? I don't know. What roads have you closed? What cities have you been past? I don't know. I said, have you crossed the Illinois River? He says, I don't know. I said, John, until you give me some kind of marker, I can't tell you how to get there. It's like starting in the middle of nothing. I would think you would know if you went over the Illinois River. What do you think? You know, there's like a big bridge, and the river's like a mile or plus wide. Not John. Well, anyhow, this poor guy, he looked at me with an incredulous look. If you don't know what incredulous means, I don't either, but I looked it up, and it means something where you're either unwilling or unable to believe something. He could not believe that I didn't want to give him the address to Culver's. So he kind of spit a little bit and mumbled, halting, you know, kind of under the breath. And he says, I have to have an address or I will get lost. He said to me, I get lost easily. And I looked at him and I said, how do you get lost between Country Inn and Suites and Culver's? It's right across the parking lot. I mean, it's like saying I can't make it to Sparky's house. Hi, Sparky. I can't get there because I need an address. Folks, look out the door. The guy sputtered, and finally I said, hold on. No joke. I have no idea what the address is of Culver's. I drive to Culver's. So I looked it up on my phone, gave him the address. That night we got there, I thought, should I ask him if he needed the address to get all the way to Culver's from Country Inn and Suites? Now, friends, I tell you that story because right now there have been people that claim to be saved for decades. You have never gotten down to biblical prayer. Your prayer life's a wreck. And I'm going to try to give you a map. And I already know what some of you are thinking. There's got to be some easier way than this. My kids can quote. What's the first thing I say when you look at a map, Amy? Oh, yes. My first words out of my mouth. You know what I'm going to do today in the sermon? Give you the big picture. How do you get lost in Chicago? Easy. How do you get lost in Chicago? Folks, if you go too far one way, you end up in the lake. If you go too far the other way, you end up in the airport. How do you get lost in Chicago? Most of the roads are straight. Get the big picture. Okay, we better move on. Some of you are getting nervous. You're getting your GPS out. You're already lost. Pastor, can you give me the address to Burger King? Well, I can't see it, Pastor. I need the address. Okay, whatever. The Lord's Prayer for his disciples, please hear me, friend, assumes some very basic facts. It assumes, first of all, that prayer is the easiest and most natural thing we do. When you get saved, the great transformation is God now becomes your Father. So in one sense, prayer is easy, but just in one sense. In another sense, it recognizes that prayer can easily degenerate. Hear me. For every single believer, if you're an honest person, and I don't know, many people are very dishonest about one thing, themselves. They can tell the truth about everything except themselves. Friend, I don't care how long you've been saved, prayer can degenerate into going through the motions. You know this, I know this. Can I have an amen? It's part of our fallen human nature. The Lord's Prayer is to help us with this. The Lord's Prayer recognizes that prayer can very quickly become external and public. It recognizes that prayer can become all about the proper words and phrases and the presentation. It recognizes that prayer can miss or lose the very heart of prayer when you write, oh my goodness, I wish I didn't have to confess this. My wife will bring me a nice lunch up. And, you know, I'm just me. She brings me something good to eat, and it smells good, and she hands it to me, and I put on my bib because I got to have a bib, you know, and I get ready to eat, and the food's smelling good. And the next thing I know, I have given thanks to nothing. I got lost in the smell. Are you awake? Well, let's continue. The passage also recognizes that you and I, listen to me, must have a closet. A closet is someplace outside your normal routine. Remember Sunday night? A time and a place, which means this. Your easy chair is not the time and place. The kitchen table, drinking coffee, eating donuts, not the time and place. There's got to be something outside of, apart from, that we go, we exit one place, enter another place, to have that secret place of prayer. The Lord's Prayer assumes that. The Lord's Prayer sadly, can easily become mindless and heartless, just like what it tells us. After this manner, therefore. And guess what? We use it. Folks, this is not an anti-Catholic bashing day. I'm not into that. This is factual. You go around a Catholic service, the priest has a certain phrase he says. I cannot say it. Never have been around a Catholic thing, but the Catholic priest will say something like this. As our Father has, or as the Lord or somebody has taught us to pray, and then all the people quote this Lord's Prayer. They mumble it out of their mouth. And it means what? It is actually the exact opposite of what Jesus says to do with it. He just got done condemning, saying things over and over and over. And what do we do with the Lord's Prayer? We use the Lord's Prayer to say things over and over. It's not about quoting something. No, it's a map. It's a pattern. I think this text teaches us clearly that prayer needs not an address, but a map. It needs a map to lead us. It needs a map not only to lead us, but to get us back on track. And frankly, if you're human, which you are, you need to get back on track over and over and over again. The Lord's Prayer for His disciples is simply this. It is a map. After this manner, thusly, in this way, pray. Therefore, that's what the Lord says. Look back at Matthew 6, 9 through 10. Friends, today all we're going to do is do a flyover. Now, I know I'm weird. The guy you're looking at never gets lost. Not in the way you think of. Because the first thing I do any place I go is, Amy, what do? I yell at Amy to get the big picture. Friend, if you have the big picture, how can you get lost? Where can you get lost to? The Lord's Prayer is the big picture. It's the map. Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. By the way, that's the introduction. Jesus is saying, in this way, this is how you pray. This is not what you pray. And he says, because of the difficulties in chapter 6, 5 through 8, this is how you pray. And then he begins with the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to give you three ideas this morning. I'm going to add a lot of things in between. These are very simple. Number one, look at me. We'll read the text right after that. Number one, are you ready? This is how you begin your prayers. Look at me. Begin with Him. Do not begin with you. Begin with Him. Say it with me. Begin with Him. Read the text. He's telling us how to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, the first prayer request is, well, Lord, I want you to give me a good parking space, so I don't have to walk into Walmart. Seriously. And that's God's will. I quit praying those kind of prayers because God always gives me the parking place I need, about 2 miles out, because I need about 2 miles in and about 2 mile back. Friend, please look at me. Begin with Him. If you want to say it another way, here's how your prayer begins. Begin with the Lord. Here it is. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Everything begins with Him. You don't pray like this. Lord, I sure would like a job in Alaska. I've always been wanting to move to Alaska on the coast because it's so pretty. God, give me a job. By the way, folks, what has this got to do with Christianity? Well, it has a lot to do with an anti-Christianity. We're praying for whom? Start with Him. By the way, friend, on the authority of Jesus Christ, start with the Father. Don't start with yourself. Don't do the little Billy Baptist thing. You pray for 5 minutes about all, you know, your aches and pains and all of your problems. And at the end you say, now, Lord, if you be willing, there's only one problem with your willing. God's will comes first, not last. We're praying about His name, His kingdom, His will. Start with the Lord. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. thy will be done. I love it. Now, friend, I'm not going to explain all these details today. There is no way we could explain all six prayer requests in one setting. I'll probably spend 6 weeks talking about each prayer request, but I will talk about some. Do me a favor and look at the number three. Thy will be done. How do you know you're doing the will of God? Please help me. I'm going to say a whole lot about this in the future, but let me give you a simple premise. I think the will of God is simple. I know I'm being taped. Can I move? But I mean move more than usual. I'm going to move over here, Superman. When you get in your car, big egos, and you have to drive, who's in charge of where you're going? Please tell me. Please tell me. Do you know what it simply is? Well, let me tell you a story first. My sister called me yesterday, or I called her, and then she called me back, my little sister Shirley, and she said, Ralph, I know you're coming down this week. We're taking my mother out of her, assisted living, because, you know, she's been in quarantine for 14 years now and not seen anybody. So we're going to take her out for a week, and then when she goes back in, she has to go back into quarantine, which she's already been in since March. So we're bringing her out. She's going to spend time with the family. We're going to take her places. She said, have you asked Mom where she wants to go? And I said to my little sister, Rita, you can ask her, not older sister, little sister, Shirley, excuse me. I said, Shirley, my mom will be happy wherever you take her. And I told my little sister, and I'm telling you, challenge it. My mother is one of the happiest people I've ever met. She likes whatever we're doing. Do you know what thy will be done means? Get out of the driver's seat of your life, your opinions, your dreams, your fantasies, your desires, all the things that you think are... By the way, have you ever considered those are not necessarily God's will? Has it ever dawned on you they might not have anything to do with God? My prayer, your prayer must begin. Start with Him. I told my little sister, Jenny and I know we took her on vacation to Scotland one time. Jenny and I did, and we had the privilege to take her to Mexico. And frankly, my mother loved Mexico. Oh, she loved Mexico. I think she had the best time of her life in a little Maya city called Oshkunkab, which is the market city. It was the first time my mother has ever been around people that she was taller than. I mean, my little 4'11 mother stood straight, because there were people 4.5 feet tall, and she thought she was in heaven. And we were laughing. I mean, it was hilarious seeing my mom. It's like, Mom, what got into you? It's the first time she's ever been around where there were lots of people shorter than her. Can I tell you this, friend? You know one of our problems is we've been praying wrong our whole Christian life. Everything that about us is about what we want to do. Sometimes you don't hear your conversations. We just repeatedly talk about ourselves and what we want. Friends, if you were praying the Lord's Prayer as a pattern, as a map, it takes you out of the center of the world and it puts into the center the Lord. It's His name. It's His kingdom. It's His will. I think most of us can't get out of the driver's seat. You say, do you ever let your wife drive? No. Yes, I do, actually. If she needs to drive, she can drive. She did scare me to death one time in the mountains, the Smoky Mountains, and she doesn't drive as much as she could have. But somehow, when I'm not in the car, she doesn't fall asleep driving. Look at me. I have no fixation on driving my life. Do you? I have no fixation on making my decisions. Now, I'm going to list these, and then we're going to go to something that I think for every Christian that's thinking is going to open your eyes. Now, whether it'll make you pray differently, I don't know. But see, you're going to figure out something in this text this text is kind of taught every place. I'm going to read this list. This whole really prayer is about God. It starts with the fatherhood of God for His people, for believers. Our Father which art in heaven. It moves then to the glory of God, the holiness of God, the hallowed God's name. It then moves to the kingdom of God, the will of God, and even when it gets to us, it's talking about the provision of God, that God gives us what we need. It talks about the forgiveness of God. It talks about ultimately the protection of God. And then finally, it concludes in my way of thinking with the centrality of God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I mean, the whole prayer in one sense is about God. It's praying to the Lord. So we begin with Him. Now, friend, I have to make sure you see this. Turn your Bibles to Exodus 20, please. Exodus 20. You're going to find when you read the Lord's Prayer and get serious and drop off all the Billy Baptist stuff, and I have books in my office, and Amy, you've been going through the books in the library. I need to go through up here because I have this many books on prayer that together all of them need to be burned, because all of them are things like this: how to get your prayers answered. I got a question. Do you want your prayers answered? Wow. By the way, whose prayer should you want answered? Whose will do you want done? No, whose will do you really want done? It's who you're praying about, who you're thinking about, who you're planning about. But what I want you to see is this, friend. The prayer this morning is simple. The prayer is basically this. Jesus teaches, gives us a map. The first three requests are about Him. The second, and I'll get to the point in a minute, the second three requests are about us. But there's something weird that you've never seen before. You will see it this morning. This is taught every place, including the Ten Commandments. Look at Exodus chapter 20, please. Verse 3. We're not going to read the whole thing. We're just going to read the highlights. By the way, the Ten Commandments was always seen as what? Two tables. The first four commandments deals with whom? Who? The first three prayer requests deal with God. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Guess what? We come to the Ten Commandments, guess what we find? First four commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first one. The second one, not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything, period. Not bow down and worship them. No idols. The third one, don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The fourth one, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Oh my goodness. You mean God Himself, look at me, writes in stone Himself and says the first four commandments are about whom? Jesus teaches us how to pray. He says you begin your prayer not talking about what you want and what you think and all of your problems. No. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. What are this last six prayer, the last six commands? They deal with humans, people. Look at chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's the first, that's the second table of the law. The first table deals with God. The second table deals with us horizontally. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet. My friend, look at me. You have three prayer requests related directly to God. And which ones come first, God or us? The first four commandments are about God. The next six commandments are about us. Mark chapter 12, please. Mark chapter 12. The Lord's Prayer for His disciples is a map. It's a pattern. It's how we are to pray. It begins, and we are to begin with the Lord, with Him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, hallowed be thy name. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Do you recognize Jesus has asked the question, what is the greatest of the commandments? What's the first commandment? Mark 12:28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, "What is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And what? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first," what? Look up here, friend. Three prayer requests. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Four commandments. No other gods, no idolatry or images or icons. Don't take God's name in vain. And he also says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those are Godward, the first four. The great commandment. What's the greatest of all? It's about him. The Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, the two commandments. Same pattern. Why? Because everything begins and ends with God. Mark 12:31. The second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Begin with the Lord. Now, I got a question for you. When you go home, let me ask this. Do you ever listen to yourself? Do you ever listen to your conversation? Do you ever wonder why God doesn't do more in our midst? I think we live in a culture and a group of people who are preoccupied with themselves. And God rarely, by the way, we can quote the verses, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. No, what are you really seeking? The Lord's Prayer, friend, look at me. The Lord's Prayer is like a map. Keeps calling us back, calling us back, calling us back, telling us, here's how you live the Christian life. You pray, look at me, you pray just like you love. And you love just like you obey the Ten Commandments. Your love, your obedience, and your prayer are the same. They're not different things. Him first, and then it's us. My wife and I, years ago when Miss Rose Mayfield was here, Mrs. Mayfield's husband's dad died. Mrs. Mayfield worked in the office, sweet lady. Jenny and I think it was just us, we decided to go to the funeral. We wanted to be respectful to the family. Went to the funeral, and the funeral was a funeral. You know, I mean, I just was what it was. Loud, long, way too loud for me. But finally got close. Then the pastor came and said, if anyone out there, by the way, as long as I'm the pastor and I'm running a funeral, this will never happen, so don't hold your breath. Here he is. Here is somebody you don't like, Pastor Warren. He's now dead, laid out. And Pastor Koch says, would anybody like to say anything? You don't do that. Because you never know what people are going to say. I had to do this in a funeral recently. I won't say whose. Oh, I was so scared. And the first person, they had about five or six, and about three of them were real nice, you know, thankful, blah, blah, blah. Then the sister came up, and I could see the entire audience going. You could see that. And boy, the sister went off. And I'm like. But this pastor said, anybody have something to say? Please come. So people came, and most of them were short and okay. One lady got up. I timed it. She got up and she started, by the way, do you know yourself? She started talking about herself. For 7 minutes, she talked. And I thought she was going, Jim, I thought she was going to get around to the guy. She never got around to the guy. She never mentioned the guy. She talked about herself for 7 minutes at someone else's funeral. Can I tell you something? Your prayer life ought to be exactly like your love life. You love God first with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You obey God first. First four commandments. and you pray about whom? Start, begin with Him, of course. Don't begin with yourself. You say, well, Pastor, if I didn't talk about myself, I wouldn't know what to talk about. I'm going to recommend this. If you're a person that always talks about yourself, I'm going to recommend you quit trusting in praying a prayer 30 years ago. I'm going to recommend Matthew 16:24. Would you turn there, please? And I'm being really serious. If you are fixated on yourself, I'm going to recommend a good old dose of good old Christianity. I think you got a dose of religion someplace, but no Christianity. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man, and it doesn't mean male, any person will come after me, what is the first thing that happens? May I say this? Are you still in the driver's seat of your life? Look at me, please. Are you still in the driver's seat of your life? If you are, you are not a Christian by definition. You say, but I pray. I didn't ask you if you prayed a prayer. I asked you, are you still in the driver's seat? Because the first step of salvation, by the way, Paul can call it repentance, but it's coming to an end of yourself and your sin. That's repentance. Coming to an end of yourself and your sin and coming to Christ. It's denying oneself, taking up one's cross, and following Him. I think that's pretty straightforward. Matthew 6, please. Matthew 6, verse 9. Let's go to the second stage of this. Where do we begin? Begin with Him. By the way, friends, the primary purpose of your prayer is to pray for His name to be glorified, sanctified, hallowed, for His kingdom to come, His will to be done. Then, in Matthew 6, we'll start at the very beginning because, in one sense, our prayer starts this way. We don't say, my Father, even though God is our Father, that would be wrong to call God my Father in an exclusive way. I don't know any Christian I've ever met that did that. It's our Father. Why? Because we begin with Him and we continue with us. We begin with Him, we continue with us. Our Father, which art in heaven, verse 11, then He gives three requests. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm conflating Luke, sorry. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Friend, here's the map. Hey, look here. Here's the map. I still remember that guy looking at me and he was just... And I'm like, folks, I'm like, you don't need the directions to get to Culver's. What are you going to do? Go to Ming Toy today and have to get directions back to Lake County? I mean, it's at least 100 miles. Prayer is simple. Begin with Him. Continue with us. Sorry, friend. There is no me, myself, and I, even in... I don't see it. You say, how could this be? Well, I'm going to tell you how it is. And I'll give you illustrations of it in a minute. Do you know when you get saved? Do you realize you get saved and you're born again into a family? What's that family called? Family of God? I look around this room. You know what's weird about you? We don't all look the same. Atong over here has good hair. I think you would look better with a mohawk, personally, Atong, but that's just personal opinion. I think Jenny Lynn, some night when you're sleeping, should buzz it and give you a mohawk. Some of us have good hair. Some of us have bad hair. Some of us have no hair. Oh, I saw somebody point. There's women pointing fingers all over to their husbands. Some of us have no hair. Is that correct? Do you realize we don't speak the same languages? Sister Ann over here, is English your first language yet, Ann? Not yet. Still Vietnamese, huh? Are you my sister? We're cut. Why? By the way, why do we be... Look at me. Think about this. We begin with him. We continue with us. Why? Because we're part of a family. The only difference in this family is one thing, and it's so obvious here. We were all adopted. Every single one. Some of us look weird. You say, which some of us? It's according to who you're asking. We all look weird because we're all adopted. This is an adopted family. Friends, you begin with him, you continue with us. July 28th was an important day for my wife. She celebrated her 37th birthday. I should have an amen from that one. Come on, guys. July 31st was an important day for my mother. It's an important day for me. My little sister Shirley called me like 3 times. And she said, Ralph, make sure. It's like, come on, Shirley. I wasn't born yesterday. She says, make sure you call mom. And I said, I already got my plans squared away. I know what to do. I got the flowers ordered. I got everything. I'm okay. Why is July 31st an important day? Look me in the eyes. It's not important to you because you're not part of the Warren family. But if you were part of the Warren family and the only parent you have left is your mother and that was their anniversary date 71 years ago, that's an important date to the Warren family. So did the Warrens call mom on her anniversary? Yes, because in 2013, 7 years ago, in a couple more weeks, my father died. After celebrating his 85th birthday and his 64th anniversary. Friend, I don't expect you to call my mother up. You're not part of the Warren family. You say, why do we pray for each other? Do you have to ask me that? Are you not part of the family? You're living like you're not part of the family. It's intuitive. Of course. As I told you earlier, and I said again with my sister, when she was talking about where we need to go and what we need to do, and I said, well, I'm going to do whatever mom wants to do. Why? Because it's about mom. It's us. You say, did you call your mother on her anniversary? I called her 2 days before. I called her a day before. I called her 3 times on her anniversary, and I called her the day after. Thank you very much. You say, Pastor, who cares about us? Isn't it just about me, me, me? No, because all of us are part of us. Now, I'm going to try to get through this. And some of this will be hard for me to get through. Look at me. While you're wondering, and by the way, this is not about anybody. I'm stating facts. This is not about, if I want to say something to you, I'll say it to you directly. Are we clear? While you're fixated on where your next vacation is or where you're moving, Robert has lost his mother this year. Have you wept over that? And if that wasn't bad enough, and by the way, I remember the last time I got to go over, I knew she was struggling, I didn't know how bad, and I bought a bunch of food. Tim, did you go with me or did I go by myself? I can't remember. Maybe it was just me. I bought enough food for Ming Toy for 2 weeks for them, I think. Bought a bunch of food, went over, mom and dad were there, had a great time. And if you've not been around his mother was, Robert, I don't know, you lost it, but your mom's the life of the party. She is. She was funny and laughing and carrying on and joking. And I thought, Robert, just like every time before, she was going to get better, be back to church, and then all of a sudden Robert called me and said she's doing badly. Jenny and I went to see her. You say, why would you care about Robert's mother? Part of my family. Why don't I just pray about me and what I want? Do you know what? The most selfish people I know, that's how they think. And they think everybody else is selfish. You've not wept for 1 second over Robert losing mom and dad. Because it's not you. Who's the selfish person? Who's the person into themselves? Well, I don't even know if I have the whole list. All I know, Robert's mom was gone. Then Robert's dad was gone. And recently, Dada's dad died. Steve's mom died not long ago. I think probably more about this one because of the connection. Pam's mom died in the last year or so. They made it, I think, Pam, 67 years. Is that right? How do you think you're going to make it after being with someone for 67 years? And you're talking about yourself? This is what I know. This prayer yanks you back into Christianity. And Christianity is about loving God and loving people, not loving yourself. It's about obeying God and implementing the commands of God with people. It's about praying, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then it's about, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I hear people say the most stupid things I've ever heard. I'm so happy for you doing what you're doing. Don't look for that happiness from me, because I actually pray the prayer, do you? And I realize the choices we make can impact eternity. Do you? Talk to someone this week that lost her mother. Who was it? Buffy. Mother died of whatever, dementia, Alzheimer's, something bad. You say, well, that's just Buffy. Who cares? I called Buffy up, the same thing I'd say to Jan Thompson. Jan is not perfect because of her sister Cheryl right there. But you hear me, Jan Thompson rescued this place my first year here. Yeah, I can pick on Jan all day. That's my job. But she rescued me. Buffy Crouch rescued us twice. Is she perfect? Well, how did their move do for their family? I'm tired of the lying and the sniveling in this church. God bless you. Where are you going to church? Well, we don't go to church. Breaks my heart to see Buffy and two beautiful children don't have a dad. You say, does that, by the way, don't you pray? Don't you pray for other people? I look at Carly. I love Carly. She's the sweet Carly. Who's the number one in your family for me? Go ahead. Who did you say? Of course. Of course. And the only thing good about Carly that's better than just Carly is Brenna and her together giggling. I mean, you still can do that giggling, right, Brenna? Yes. Now, let's be honest. When's the last time you prayed for God to protect them in their choices? Doesn't anything enter your world other than you? I see one half of the group here. Is the other half mad at me this morning? That's so sweet. I think about you two young ladies. You say, why? Because all the decisions you make are going to make. But I'm going to ask you a question. When decisions not become big? Have you ever met old fools? The provision of God, the forgiveness of God, the protection of God. If you would look back with me at chapter 6, verse 11, 12, and 13, this is just for your benefit. Friend, when you pray, think about the impact of this prayer. Not, by the way, not mumbling this prayer, but using it as a map or a guide. Think about this. Give us what day? Look at me. When you pray biblically for us, you're praying for today. Yes? And forgive us our, as we forgive our debtors, you're praying for the past, what you've done wrong, what we've done wrong. We're praying that God will forgive us and that we'll forgive others. So we're praying for our necessities today. We're praying for forgiveness. And then we're praying for, see if you can get it, the future. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from, my friend, this prayer is the world in which we exist. Pray that God meets our needs. Pray that God forgives our sins. Pray that God leads us in a way and guides us and protects us. I will say this, and this everybody that knows me knows this. I love the kids of this church. You marry the wrong person, hell awaits you. Hell awaits you. It's all it takes. It's real hard to recover from a lot of stupid. You move to the wrong place. And we do so many things with all the Christians saying, "Well, I'm so happy for you." And you haven't prayed for 15 seconds for that person. Lead them not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And by the way, those are the positive and the negative. And sometimes you got to be delivered. Sometimes God has got to reach in and grab you and pull you back. And yes, Nancy, I've been praying for Leo. Leo's in a tough spot. Is it his own fault? Much of it. But who hasn't been there? We're praying for God to be merciful and to make people get back in the path. Aren't you praying? By the way, the Lord's Prayer is the center of your Christian life. Or you go back to mumbling and jumbling. The Lord's Prayer for His disciples gives us healthy directions or a map. It keeps us, it draws us back. I pray for John, I pray for Tiffany, for Nathan, for William, for James. I pray for Jared a lot because of Amy, and I pray for Amy too. I pray for Jesse and whoever's to be born. I pray for Nikki and Dana and Carly and Brenna. There's a lot of prayer needed there. If I pray for Haley, I pray for Kim and for Nia and for Kier. I pray for Kayla and Amber. Well, not as much for Amber, but for Kayla. I pray for Kika. I pray for Jericho. I pray for Grumpy Cat. I pray for Preston. I pray for the Tupper number 3. I pray for Mia. I pray for Mika. I pray for Christian. I pray for Leo. I pray for Cassie. Folks, you say, why do you do that? Who do you think my family is? Now, I'll say this to you. If you already decide to be stupid, I do not pray for you. I let you just eat your own gravel. But friend, I'm going to pray and beg God exactly what He says. I'm going to beg God that He meets your needs. I'm going to beg God that He forgives you like I forgive and like I've been forgiven. I'm going to beg God that He leads you in a way that protects you, because I don't want to see any more tragedies. Well, Matthew 6:13. Would you look there, please? Matthew 6:13. I recognize, and I say again, the ending is not in all versions. It's a Greek text issue, but I can promise you this. That ending is found in the second century every place. So most Greek texts have it, and books outside the New Testament, meaning what they call lectionaries, where pastors would have little books of things they would read to introduce a service or during the service. I believe it's part of the text, though others do not, and that's fine. But I believe the Lord's Prayer in a nutshell is this. Please look at me. It's this simple. We begin with Him. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. We continue with what? Why? I love Ah Tong. I love to pick on Ah Tong. But if you want to see Ah Tong nervous, just something happens to one of his girls. Ah Tong would drive. He did drive. When one of them got hurt, didn't Ah Tong and Jenny Lin take off like that day or the next day? Right? Why? Because they're your girls. By the way, they're our girls too. I look around here, we got a young man right over here. Luke, I cannot believe, come on. Luke is still 4. He's going to college. He's not only going to college, he's going to a sophisticated college, Purdue. So he's going to be a true cornfield guy, is what's really going to happen. Luke, there'll be people concerned about you and praying for you there, buddy. Of course, I can't say that I'll pray as much as your mother, and I can't say that I'm as mean as your mother, because she will grab you straight out by the collar. I already know. But don't think when you go down to Purdue, you're forgotten, friend. You're part of us. Third principle in the text. Jesus says, for thine, we're back to him again, yes? For thine is the kingdom and the glory, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I would say begin with him, continue with us, finish with him. But my friend, finish with him in a very specific way. The reason I believe this is part of, and it makes so much sense, is this. When we come to the end of the prayer, we have started with him, we have then included all of us, and then we're back to him. But we get to him, we get back to what I'm going to call the centrality of God. For thine, through all the stresses of life and all the difficulties and all the fears and all the things that can go wrong and all that stuff, we come back to the centrality that God is sovereign. For thine is the kingdom. There is a sense that his kingdom is coming in the future, but there's a sense that he is sovereign right now. And God is in control. Psalm 103:19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. We begin with him. We continue with us. And we end with him, the sovereign Father of the universe that's in control. That's to whom we pray. And if you don't have that God, life becomes about you and your little decisions and your little pleasures, and it never, there's no weeping for anybody, there's no praying for anybody, because you have a God that's an idol on the front dash of your car that you rub his head. No, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. If we didn't know you were sovereign, what would be the point? If we didn't know the kind of God you are, what would be the point? We have now heard what it means to pray. I guess we need to ask now, help us to do so. And help the Lord's Prayer, because we are weak, fallible, halting, stumbling people. Father, draw us back and use your word, this Lord's Prayer, to draw us back and draw us back and draw us back so we know what's significant. Father, thank you. Thank you for teaching us how to pray, not just what to pray, but how. As Luke 11 says, teach us to pray. Meaning how to do this, as John also taught his disciples. We need it. Bless as we meet here this morning. Move, work in our hearts, I ask. In Christ's name, amen. Let's all